Prune pointless queries. Resist the temptation to close your request for help with semantically null questions like, "Can anyone help me?" or "Is there an answer?" First, if you've written your problem description halfway competently, such tacked-on questions are at best superfluous. Second, because they are superfluous, hackers find them annoying and are likely to return logically impeccable but dismissive answers like, "Yes, you can be helped," and "No, there is no help for you." In general, asking yes or no questions is a good thing to avoid unless you want a yes or no answer. Don't flag your question as urgent, even if it is for you. That's your problem, not ours. Claiming urgency is very likely to be counterproductive. Most hackers will simply delete such messages as rude and selfish attempts to elicit immediate and special attention. Furthermore, the word urgent and other similar attempts to grab attention in the subject line often triggers spam filters. Your intended recipients might never see it at all. There is one semi-exception. It can be worth mentioning if you're using the program in some high-profile place, one that the hackers will get excited about. In such a case, if you're under time pressure and you say so politely, people may get interested enough to answer faster. This is a very risky thing to do, however, because the hacker's metric for what is exciting probably differs from yours. Posting from the International Space Station would qualify, for example, but posting on behalf of a feel-good, charitable, or political cause would almost certainly not. In fact, posting urgent, "Help me save the fuzzy baby seals," will reliably get you shunned or flamed even by hackers who think fuzzy baby seals are important. If you find this mysterious, reread the rest of this how-to repeatedly until you understand it before posting anything at all. Courtesy never hurts and sometimes helps. Be courteous. Use please and thanks for your attention or thanks for your consideration. Make it clear you appreciate the time people spend helping you for free. To be honest, this isn't as important as and cannot substitute for being grammatical, clear, precise and descriptive, avoiding proprietary formats, etc. Hackers in general would rather get somewhat brusque but technically sharp bug reports than polite vagueness. If this puzzles you, remember that we value a question by what it teaches us. However, if you've got your technical ducks in a row, politeness does increase your chances of getting a useful answer. We must note that the only serious objection we've received from veteran hackers to this how-to is with respect to our previous recommendation to use thanks in advance. Some hackers feel this connotes an intention not to thank anybody afterwards. Our recommendation is to either say thanks in advance first and thank respondents afterwards, or express courtesy in a different way, such as by saying thanks for your attention or thanks for your consideration. Follow up with a brief note on the solution. Send a note after the problem has been solved to all who helped you. Let them know how it came out and thank them again for their help. If the problem attracted general interest in a mailing list or news group, it's appropriate to post the follow-up there. Optimally, the reply should be to the thread started by the original question posting and should have fixed, resolved, or an equally obvious tag in the subject line. On mailing lists with fast turnaround, a potential respondent who sees a thread about problem X ending with problem X fixed knows not to waste his or her time, even reading the thread, unless he or she personally finds problem X interesting and can therefore use that time solving a different problem. Your follow-up doesn't have to be long and involved. A simple, "Howdy, it was a failed network cable. Thanks everyone, Bill," would be better than nothing. In fact, a short and sweet summary is better than a long dissertation unless the solution has real technical depth. Say what action solved the problem, but you need not replay the whole troubleshooting sequence. For problems with some depth, it is appropriate to post a summary of the troubleshooting history. Describe your final problem statement. Define what worked as the solution and indicate avoidable blind alleys after that. The blind alleys should come after the correct solution and other summary material, rather than turning the follow-up into a detective story. Name the names of the people who helped you. You'll make friends that way. Besides being courteous and informative, this sort of follow-up will help others searching the archive of the mailing list, news group, forum to know exactly which solution helped you, and thus may also help them. Last and not least, this sort of follow-up helps everybody who assisted feel a satisfying sense of closure about the problem. If you are not a techie or hacker yourself, trust us that this feeling is very important to the gurus and experts you tap for help. Problem narratives that trail off into unresolved nothingness are frustrating things. Hackers itch to see them resolved. The goodwill that scratching that itch earns you will be very, very helpful to you next time you need to pose a question. Consider how you might be able to prevent others from having the same problem in the future. Ask yourself if a documentation or fact patch would help, and if the answer is yes, send that patch to the maintainer. Among hackers, this sort of good follow-up behavior is actually more important than conventional politeness. It's how you get a reputation for playing well with others, which can be a very valuable asset. How to interpret answers. RTFM and STFW. How to tell you've seriously screwed up. There's an ancient and hallowed tradition. If you get a reply that reads RTFM, the person who sent it thinks you should have read the fucking manual. He or she is almost certainly right. Go read it. RTFM has a younger relative. If you get a reply that reads STFW, the person who sent it thinks you should have searched the fucking web. He or she is almost certainly right. Go search it. The milder version of this is when you are told Google is your friend. In web forums, you may also be told to search the forum archives. In fact, someone may even be so kind as to provide a pointer to the previous thread where this problem was solved. But do not rely on this consideration. Do your archive searching before asking. Often, the person telling you to do a search has the manual or the web page with the information you need open and is looking at it as he or she types. These replies mean that the responder thinks A, the information you need is easy to find, and B, you will learn more if you seek out the information than if you have it spoon-fed to you. You shouldn't be offended by this. By hacker standards, your respondent is showing you a rough kind of respect simply by not ignoring you. You should instead be thankful for this grandmotherly kindness. If you don't understand the answer, do not immediately bounce back a demand for clarification. Use the same tools that you used to try and answer your original question. Manuals, facts, the web, skilled friends to understand the answer. Then, if you still need to ask for clarification, exhibit what you have learned. For example, suppose I tell you, it sounds like you've got a stuck Zentry, you'll need to clear it. Then, here's a bad follow-up question. What's a Zentry? Here's a good follow-up question. Okay, I read the man page and Zentries are only mentioned under the -Z and -P switches. Neither of them says anything about clearing Zentries. Is it one of these or am I missing something here? Dealing with rudeness. Much of what looks like rudeness in hacker circles is not intended to give offense. Rather, it's the product of the direct, cut-through-the-bullshit communication style that is natural to people who are more concerned about solving problems than making others feel warm and fuzzy. When you perceive rudeness, try to react calmly. If someone is really acting out, it is very likely a senior person on the list or newsgroup or forum will call him or her on it. If that doesn't happen and you lose your temper, it is likely that the person you lose it at was behaving within the hacker community's norms and you will be considered at fault. This will hurt your chances of getting the information you want. On the other hand, you will occasionally run across rudeness and posturing that is quite gratuitous. The flip side of the above is that it is acceptable form to slam real offenders quite hard, dissecting their misbehavior with a sharp verbal scalpel. Be very, very sure of your ground before you try this, however. The line between correcting an incivility and starting a pointless flame war is thin enough that hackers themselves not infrequently blunder across it. If you are a newbie or an outsider, your chances of avoiding such a blunder are low. If you're after information rather than entertainment, it's better to keep your fingers off the keyboard than to risk this. Some people assert that many hackers have a mild form of autism or Asperger's syndrome and are actually missing some of the brain circuitry that lubricates normal human social interaction. This may or may not be true. If you are not a hacker yourself, it may help you cope with our eccentricities if you think of us as being brain damaged. Go right ahead. We won't care. We like being whatever it is we are and generally have a healthy skepticism about clinical labels. Jeff Bigler's observations about tact filters are also relevant and worth reading. In the next section, we'll talk about a different issue, the kind of rudeness you'll see when you misbehave. On not reacting like a loser. Odds are you'll screw up a few times on hacker community forums, in ways detailed in this article or similar. And you'll be told exactly how you screwed up, possibly with colorful asides, in public. When this happens, the worst thing you can do is whine about the experience, claim to have been verbally assaulted, demand apologies, scream, hold your breath, threaten lawsuits, complain to people's employers, leave the toilet seat up, etc. Instead, here's what you do. Get over it. It's normal. In fact, it's healthy and appropriate. Community standards do not maintain themselves. They're maintained by people actively applying them, visibly, in public. Don't whine that all criticism should have been conveyed via private email. That's not how it works. Nor is it useful to insist you've been personally insulted when someone comments that one of your claims was wrong, or that his views differ. Those are loser attitudes. There have been hacker forums where, out of some misguided sense of hypercourtesy, participants are banned from posting any fault-finding with another's posts, and told, don't say anything if you're unwilling to help the user. The resulting departure of clueful participants to elsewhere causes them to descend into meaningless babble and become useless as technical forums. Exaggeratedly friendly in that fashion, or useful, pick one. Remember, when that hacker tells you that you've screwed up, and no matter how gruffly tells you not to do it again, he's acting out of concern for one, you, and two, his community. It would be much easier for him to ignore you and filter you out of his life. If you can't manage to be grateful, at least have a little dignity. Don't whine, and don't expect to be treated like a fragile doll just because you're a newcomer with a theatrically hypersensitive soul and delusions of entitlement. Sometimes people will attack you personally, flame without an apparent reason, etc., even if you don't screw up, or have only screwed up in their imagination. In this case, complaining is the way to really screw up. These flamers are either lamers who don't have a clue but believe themselves to be experts, or would-be psychologists, testing whether you'll screw up. The other readers either ignore them or find ways to deal with them on their own. The flamers' behavior creates problems for themselves, which don't have to concern you. Don't let yourself be drawn into a flame war either. Most flames are best ignored. After you've checked out whether they really are flames, not pointers to the ways in which you have screwed up, and not cleverly ciphered answers to your real question. This happens as well. Questions not to ask. Here are some classic stupid questions and what hackers are thinking when they don't answer them. Question: where can I find program or resource X? Answer: the same place I'd find it, fool. At the other end of a web search. God, doesn't everybody know how to use Google yet? Question: how can I use X to do Y? Answer: if what you want to do is why, you should ask that question without presupposing the use of a method that may not be appropriate. Questions of this form often indicate a person who is not merely ignorant about X, but confused about what problem Y they are solving, and too fixated on the details of their particular situation. It is generally best to ignore such people until they define their problem better. Question: how can I configure my shell prompt? Answer: if you're smart enough to ask this question, you're smart enough to RTFM and find out yourself. Question: can I convert an Acme Corp document into a text file using the Bassomatic file converter? Answer: try it and see. If you did that, you'd A, learn the answer, and B, stop wasting my time. Question: my program configuration SQL statement doesn't work. Answer: this is not a question, and I'm not interested in playing 20 questions to pry your actual question out of you. I have better things to do. On seeing something like this, my reaction is normally one of the following. Do you have anything else to add to that? Oh, that's too bad. I hope you get it fixed. And this has exactly what to do with me? Question: I'm having problems with my Windows machine. Can you help? Answer: yes. Throw out that Microsoft trash and install an open source operating system like Linux or BSD. Note: you can ask questions related to Windows machines if they are about a program that does have an official Windows build or interacts with Windows machines, i.e. Samba. Just don't be surprised by the reply that the problem is with Windows and not the program, because Windows is so broken in general that this is very often the case. Question: my program doesn't work. I think system facility X is broken. While it is possible that you are the first person to notice an obvious deficiency in system calls and libraries heavily used by hundreds or thousands of people, it is rather more likely that you are utterly clueless. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. When you make a claim like this one, you must back it up with clear and exhaustive documentation of the failure case. Question: I'm having problems installing Linux or X. Can you help? Answer: No. I'd need hands-on access to your machine to troubleshoot this. Go ask your local Linux user group for hands-on help. You can find a list of user groups here. Note: Questions about installing Linux may be appropriate if you're on a forum or mailing list about a particular distribution and the problem is with that distro, or on local user groups forums. In this case, be sure to describe the exact details of the failure. But do careful searching first, with Linux and all suspicious pieces of hardware. Question: How can I crack root, steal channel ops privileges, read someone's email? A. You're a lowlife for wanting to do such things and a moron for asking a hacker to help you. Good and bad questions. Finally, I'm going to illustrate how to ask questions in a smart way by example. Pairs of questions about the same problem, one asked in a stupid way and one in a smart way. Stupid: Where can I find out stuff about the Foonly Flurbomatic? This question just begs for STFW as a reply. Smart: I used Google to try to find Foonly Flurbomatic 2600 on the web, but I got no useful hits. Can I get a pointer to programming information on this device? This one has already SDFW'd and sounds like there might be a real problem. Stupid: I can't get the code from Project Foo to compile. Why is it broken? The querent assumes that somebody else screwed up. Arrogant git. Smart: The code from Project Foo doesn't compile under Nulix version 6.2. I've read the fact, but it doesn't have anything in it about Nulix-related problems. Here's a transcript of my compilation attempt. Is it something I did? The querent has specified the environment, read the fact, is showing the error, and is not assuming his problems are someone else's fault. This one might be worth some attention. Stupid: I'm having problems with my motherboard. Can anybody help? J Random Hacker's response to this is likely to be, "Right, do you need burping and diapering too?" followed by a punch of the delete key. Smart: I tried X, Y, and Z on the S2464 motherboard. When that didn't work, I tried A, B, and C. Note the curious symptom when I tried C. Obviously, the Florbish is grommicking, but the results aren't what one might expect. What are the usual causes of grommicking on Athlon MP motherboards? Anybody got ideas for more tests I can run to pin down the problem? This person, on the other hand, seems worthy of an answer. He or she has exhibited problem-solving intelligence rather than passively waiting for an answer to drop from on high. In the last question, notice the subtle but important difference between demanding, "Give me an answer," and, "Please help me figure out what additional diagnostics I can run to achieve enlightenment." In fact, the form of that last question is closely based on a real incident that happened in August 2001 on the Linux kernel mailing list, LKML. I, Eric, was the one asking the question that time. I was seeing mysterious lockups on a Tyon S2462 motherboard. The list member supplied the critical information I needed to solve them. By asking the question in the way I did, I gave people something to chew on. I made it easy and attractive for them to get involved. I demonstrated respect for my peers' ability and invited them to consult with me as a peer. I also demonstrated respect for the value of their time by telling them the blind alleys I had already run down. Afterwards, when I thanked everyone and remarked how well the process had worked, an LKML member observed that he thought it had worked not because I'm a name on that list, but because I asked the question in the proper form. Hackers are in some ways a very ruthless meritocracy. I'm certain he was right, and that if I had behaved like a sponge, I would have been flamed or ignored no matter who I was. His suggestion that I write up the whole incident as instruction to others led directly to the composition of this guide. If you can't get an answer, please don't take it personally that we don't feel we can help you. Sometimes the members of the ask group may simply not know the answer. No response is not the same as being ignored, though admittedly it's hard to spot the difference from outside. In general, simply reposting your question is a bad idea. This will be seen as pointlessly annoying. Have patience. The person with your answer may be in a different time zone and asleep, or it may be that your question wasn't well formed to begin with. There are other sources of help you can go to, often sources better adapted to a novice's needs. There are many online and local user groups who are enthusiasts about the software, even though they may never have written any software themselves. These groups often form so that people can help each other and help new users. There are also plenty of commercial companies you can contract with for help, both large and small. Don't be dismayed at the idea of having to pay for a bit of help. After all, if your car engine blows a head gasket, chances are you would take it to a repair shop and pay to get it fixed. Even if the software didn't cost you anything, you can't expect that support to always come for free. For popular software like Linux, there are at least 10,000 users per developer. It's just not possible for one person to handle the support calls from over 10,000 users. Remember that even if you have to pay for support, you are still paying much less than if you had to buy the software as well. And support for closed-source software is usually more expensive and less competent than support for open-source software. How to answer questions in a helpful way. Be gentle. Problem-related stress can make people seem rude or stupid, even when they're not. Reply to a first offender offline. There is no need of public humiliation for someone who may have made an honest mistake. A real newbie may not know how to search archives or where the FAQ is stored or posted. If you don't know for sure, say so. A wrong but authoritative sounding answer is worse than none at all. Don't point anyone down a wrong path simply because it's fun to sound like an expert. Be humble and honest. Set a good example for both the querent and your peers. If you can't help, don't hinder. Don't make jokes about procedures that could trash the user's setup. The poor sap might interpret these as instructions. Ask probing questions to elicit more details. If you're good at this, the querent will learn something, and so might you. Try to turn the bad question into a good one. Remember, we were all newbies once. While muttering RTFM is sometimes justified when replying to someone who is just a lazy slob, a pointer to documentation, even if it's just a suggestion to Google for a key phrase, is better. If you're going to answer the question at all, give good value. Don't suggest kludgy workarounds when somebody is using the wrong tool or approach. Suggest good tools. Reframe the question. Answer the actual question. If the querent has been so thorough as to do his or her research and is included in the query that X, Y, Z, A, B, and C have already been tried without good result, it is supremely unhelpful to respond with try A or B, or with a link to something that only says try X, Y, Z, A, B, or C. Help your community learn from the question. When you field a good question, ask yourself, how would the relevant documentation or fact have to change so that nobody has to answer this again? Then send a patch to the document maintainer. If you did research to answer the question, demonstrate your skills rather than writing as though you pulled the answer out of your butt. Answering one good question is like feeding a hungry person one meal, but teaching them research skills by example is showing them how to grow food for a lifetime. Related resources. If you need instruction in the basics of how personal computers, Unix, and the Internet work, see the Unix and Internet Fundamentals How-To. When you release software or write patches for software, try to follow the guidelines in the Software Release Practice How-To. Acknowledgements. Evelyn Mitchell contributed some example stupid questions and inspired the How to Give a Good Answer section. Mikhail Remendick contributed some particularly valuable suggestions for improvements.